magical place we could go. So close your eyes and make a wish for the skies with the angriest, flappiest birds, and the seas with ridiculous fish. The Dutch Arcade Show is here again. It's Friday night and I'm with my friends Eli, Jared, and Mike most of the time. Come on, let's go to the Dutch Arcade Show.
Hey guys, what is up? Welcome to the Touch Arcade Show. This is episode number, let me look, 436. That sounds like a really high number of episodes to do a podcast about mobile gaming and other stuff. But yeah, here we are, 10 years strong, still going, sipping on a beer that tastes like dog drool.
No, it tastes good. It smells like dog drool.
I'm sorry. Smells like dog drool.
Like, you know, smell is...
Majority of your taste comes from smell, weird. Too, right?
So. But we're recording now, and it's too late to go get something else, so whatever.
Too late. You got to force yourself to drink the dog drool smell beer.
I'll drink
which
it.
It's fine.
Yeah, it smells like, you know, when your dog's like chewing on a toy for too long, it just saturated with spit. That's kind of what it smells like.
I do know that smell very well. So, I don't know, plug your nose every time you take a sip, I guess, is my advice.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
No. Well, you want to talk about what's going on with GDC?
Well, I want to talk about that it's your birthday today.
Oh, yeah.
And well, say happy birthday, Eli.
GDC is more interesting to talk about than me being old.
Nothing is more interesting than your birthday. Thankfully, you weren't born tomorrow on a leap day, right?
I actually have a friend that is born on a leap year.
Do they every 4 years make the funny joke that they're only like 10 years old or whatever? Yes. It is 8 years old.
Yes.
Is it ever funny?
No. No, it was funny maybe the first time I heard it, but
but
not like funny. Like
if you were, if you know, in the small probability of people that were born on leap day, you should have your bad joke. You should have it, and well, no one should tell you otherwise.
What's interesting, the actual major problem that he has is like when you enter in like the like your birthday and stuff on like a drop down list.
Yeah,
like very not quite all the time, but if like a website doesn't have like, you know, a smart like date picker thing,
yeah,
like your birthday just has to be like February 28th because you can't put in the 29th.
I never really thought about that, but I could see that being a problem a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Huh.
Which I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of weird, I guess.
They should almost just be like, look, your birthday's just legally your birthday's the 28th. I don't care if you're born on the 29th. It just makes everything easier.
Yeah. I guess
that's probably how I'd roll. Or if you were born on the 29th, just convince the doctors, be like, look, just write the 28th. Come on, make this kid's life easier.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what happened with you and your parents never told you.
No, I don't think 1983 was a leap year. It might be. I don't know.
Maybe they lied about what year you were born.
Oh, that'd be pretty a deep rabbit hole.
All sorts of lies about your life.
Deep rabbit hole of lies. I got a new washer and dryer this week.
Oh, how's that going? Oh, yeah, I think you said you posted something. They're all hooked up to washers. Alexa.
Yeah, well, so I don't know. Like, so I just didn't know what to get, so I just got, like, whatever the wire cutter said was good, which was these, you know, LG unit that has Wi-Fi and stuff. And it's actually pretty cool because it sends you a push notification when your clothes are done.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have them both on Wi-Fi and, like, go in the app and, like, pair them together... Like, say you do, like, and it's got like 10 trillion cycles on it, which I don't know what the fuck the point. Like, what difference does it do if you select, oh, these are blankets versus these are towels or whatever? I don't know. No idea.
I don't know either.
I doubt it does anything different. But the dryer also has a trillion cycles. And because they're both on Wi-Fi together, like, when you, like, say I do like a load of towels in the washing machine, I turn the dryer on, it's already like set for whatever the washer just did.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which. I don't know. I'm sure someone out there is totally jazzed by that, but
no, I'm sure. Yeah. I our washer and dryer we bought when we bought our house. So they're like, four years old almost. And, they don't have Wi-Fi or anything quite that fancy, but they do have like a bunch of settings that it's just like, look, let me wash how long, what temperature.
Hmm.
And that's all I care about. And it's the same with drying, like how long and what temperature. Those are the only things I care about. but there's a dial with all sorts of fancy options that I never use. So
yeah, I don't know. It's what's crazy that we got from Best Buy, and they were extremely aggressive with like price matching other people.
Really?
Which was kind of surprising. They because originally I was going to order from Costco because Costco was the cheapest, but like their delivery is not fast for one. It would be like, oh yeah, we can give them to you like next month, and their delivery is like box on driveway delivery, like it's not installed or anything like that. And I was like, I don't really have a problem with that. Like I can totally install a washer. I mean, it's not hard to hook up the hose and plug it in and stuff. But
yeah,
I was just like having this like nightmare scenario running through my head where it's like we wait a month to get these and like something's fucked up with one of them.
Yeah.
And like I go to hook it up and it's like, oh, neat. Like it doesn't work or the, you know, whatever, any weird random thing.
Yeah.
And then dealing with like Costco to come back out and have them be like, oh yeah, we can get you another set in a month or something like that.
Right.
So I was like, went to Best Buy and I was expecting them to be like, no, dude, we don't match like club stores. Like that's crazy. Get out of here.
Yeah.
But they did. And it was crazy because they price matched Costco. They allowed me to put it on the Best Buy credit card, which gave me like 10% cash back or something insane like that.
Yeah.
Well, it's not cash back, but store credit, I guess. And then they gave me free delivery because Costco offers free delivery, but the catch is Best Buy's delivery is installation.
Mm.
So it was kind of like an insane deal I was not expecting because like, you know, you have to buy the hoses and like the vent kit and like, you know, all that jazz. And I was just like included. And I was like, damn, this is like really sweet. I wasn't expecting that. And it came 3 days later. So it was super cool.
That's really good.
So
yeah, we bought ours at RC Willie. I don't know if you have those out there or not, but they're kind of like a Best Buy, but also like lots of furniture. And their thing was super cool because they had, I think if I remember right, it was like the washer and dryer together was about $1,000. I think they were like 500 each. And for $100 each machine came with a 5-year
warranty. Oh, yeah, I did that too.
Parts and service and whatever the hell goes wrong with it for up to 5 years. And then if you don't use it at all, at the end of the 5 years, they send you half the money back.
Oh,
and
that's
so,
awesome.
I actually I've called on it once because I thought I had a problem with the washer, water overflowing and spilling on the floor. It turned out to be a blocked drain in my house, but, they sent they just call a local like repairman near me, send them out. And there was, I had to do nothing, had to pay nothing, had to like sign nothing. He just came out and checked it out. And that was that. And I filled a thing out online and it happened like the next day. It was really cool. So I was like, that was the best thing about where we bought ours was the warranty that came with it or that you could buy with it.
Yeah, that's
it. Just seemed
cool.
Like too cheap for that amount of service too. Like,
yeah, I don't know. I was just like totally surprised because I never, ever, ever go to Best Buy. Like for any reason, you know, because it's just like anything I can get from Best Buy. It's like buying stuff on Amazon, but you have to deal with like an extremely irritating barrage of sales guys that are like, oh, can we switch you over to Boost Mobile? You got any devices to trade in? Can we interest you in, you know, a new case for your phone? I'm like, dude, no, I don't need any of that stuff. I came in here for one thing that I just needed today and didn't want to wait 2 days to get it.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I think they have to. They had to at some point bend over backwards to please anybody that comes in their store anymore because there's less and less reasons to go to a physical store like that for anything anymore.
Yeah.
Unless you can make the customer experience awesome, which Best Buy is known for having the exact opposite of an awesome customer experience. So maybe that's why they're just like, yeah, whatever, match price. Yeah, whatever. You want extra off? I don't even care. I'll come to your house myself and put it in, like blah, 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 blah.
I mean, I guess it's just kind of crazy that that's how it all turned out. So
yeah,
I don't know, but I got a expensive washer and dryer now, so I don't need to go to the laundromat. I was thinking about though, like, so I needed to go to the laundromat. I went last weekend. They're weirdly expensive. And it kind of made me think like, so for a week's worth of clothes for two people, it cost me about $14 to do it at the laundromat.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, damn, that's just crazy. Like that is a, let's see, so 14 times 52. So I would spend $728 a year at the laundromat.
Yeah.
Which is like what a nice washer costs, you know?
Yeah, right.
But it's crazy because the people that go to the laundromat like can't probably afford the $700 up front. But $14 a week or whatever, just kind of like a, you know, what you got
to pay.
Just
don't do laundry for a year and there's your money to buy a washer. And
I don't know. I just kind of like when I, because I haven't been to the laundromat in a million years, you know, I was like kind of amazed by how expensive it was. But
yeah. Yeah. We used to go when, before we bought our house, we go to the laundromat, and the one that we liked to go to was you paid for washing but not drying. And I always thought that was really nice because I would always get so frustrated at the laundromat when you do a dry cycle and it ends and it's like barely damp still. And you're like, man, I got to pay again to do a whole nother cycle when I probably only need like another 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And so this place was cool. You just paid the washing and dried it as much as you wanted for free. And I think it was like the washing was a little bit more expensive, but I think it broke down to doing, it was like 10 bucks for me to do a load and then for Pam to do a load or whatever. So it wasn't too crazy, but glad we don't have to hump laundry to a laundromat anymore. Cause that was never something I looked forward to.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, I don't know. I don't think it's that big of a deal. It's just, as I said, I was just kind of amazed how expensive it was.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I guess you could say the same thing about like renting your apartment.
Yeah.
It's just, you add up that money from a year and that's a huge chunk of a mortgage. So,
yeah.
But anyway, so moving on, you wanted to touch on GDC because.
Yeah. Well, what last, I think.
GDC, it's in like 2 weeks. And people are pulling out left and right. Companies are still pulling out every day.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I don't know like, what the hell the landscape's going to be like at GDC this year, but it's going to be a weird one. I know that
so,
much.
So I believe RJE from Twitter put together this site, is GDCCanceledYet.com, that he just like is adding up all the tweets of the different companies that are canceling. So most recently, you've got Blizzard, Amazon, Sony and Facebook, obviously, Microsoft, Unity, Epic, Audio Kinetic, I don't know who they are, PUBG, CD Projekt Red, they pulled out, yeah, they both pulled out of PAX East and GDC,
yeah, Kojima, PAX East is going on right now.
Iron Galaxy, Wooga, and I've heard semi-confidentially there's more that have been canceled, they're just kind of figuring out how they're going to handle their announcements, but it's crazy though. Like and it's one of these things, like, I don't know. I mean, I guess this is smart. Is it? I don't know.
It's hard to say. I mean, if you're a company that needs to do international travel, I think it's rough to, justify taking a trip like this when you don't really have to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially because it seems like the, at least the US point of view, it seems like nobody really knows what's going on with the coronavirus, right? Like there's all of a sudden it's like, oh, there's a bunch of cases we didn't know about. And oh, like in California, we don't have as many testing kits as we need because there's weird regulations around it. All this stupid stuff that people don't really have their shit together, it seems like. And so I feel like just being safe about that is fine. But it's also the weird things at play here are you know, these companies that aren't showing up aren't going to, like, I would imagine not lose a whole bunch by not being there.
Yeah.
But GDC itself is probably shitting its pants. Well, because.
Yeah. So what's actually the shitty part to me about all this is that it seems like, so Sony, I believe, was the first to cancel their attendance or announce anyway.
Sony and Facebook, I think.
And but it was kind of skeezy how they did it. Like they announced like the morning of the day that you could no longer get a refund on your GDC pass.
Ugh, I wonder if they were talking to GDC people behind the scenes.
Which, yeah, I mean that's what that signals to me, right? Is that they were like talking to UBM or whoever, and were like, hey, like we really don't want to send our people there with coronavirus and stuff, and they were like, please just wait until whatever day to cancel, you know?
Damn, that's shady.
Or at least to announce it or whatever, you know, like, because like, so here's the thing, the shitty part about where GDC is at right now is that if you, and I've seen this on Twitter, like not a ton, but enough people that has been kind of like, that sucks, is that if you're like an indie dev, like, you know, you kind of take a leap of faith on GDC because it's really expensive. Like the pass is like $2,000. Airfare is going to run you probably at least like $500. You know, if you stay at like a you know, shitty hotel split with a few people, like maybe you're talking like another $500 for a hotel.
Easily a several thousand dollar index.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think if you really went out of your way to try to do a cheap GDC, you would be struggling to get it done for like much less than $5,000. It's like a one man indie shop that wants to buy a pass to, like, because that's what's expensive, is the passes are like $2,000. So I don't know. It's a weird situation because, like, so, okay, if you're that indie dev that, you know, is already committed to all these non-refundable, and that's kind of like the other thing too, is that to get the cheapest hotel rates in San Francisco, you book non-refundable rooms because it'll be a difference of like, you know, sometimes upwards of like $50 a night if you want a refundable rate versus a non-refundable rate. And like when you're staying, you know, 4 or 5 nights, like that's, you know, do you want to spend an extra $250 for the flexibility being able to cancel your hotel when it's like, you know, it's GDC, something that you're already like set on going? Like, I don't, that doesn't seem very reasonable to me. So, the take that I've seen a lot on Twitter is all these people like, dude, I already have GDC on my credit card. Like, I can't cancel it.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do. I guess I'm just going to go.
Yeah.
And it sucks because like for a person in that situation, like if you think about like what's the value of GDC for them, it's you know, talking to people from like Amazon, it's talking to people from Microsoft, it's, you know, meeting up with the people at the Unity booth, it's you know, all these companies that just aren't going to be there, like that value is in like getting FaceTime with them. So then you're like, okay, well, you know, maybe there's value in the talks and stuff, but the problem is like these huge anchor companies, like they always have like a ton of different sessions and labs and all the other stuff, which now presumably just canceled. Like the keynote speaker was Kojima to talk about Death Stranding. They canceled. So, you know, what is your $2,000 being spent on now? You know,
it's not going to get you what you thought it would when you bought it, and it's not going to get you what it normally would in a normal year.
Yeah.
So that sucks. And I don't know. I mean, you can probably find some value in attending still anyway. But I would feel sick to my stomach if this was the 1 year I finally saved up enough to really splurge on going to GDC and this shit happens. So,
well, and there's like the other facet of it is there's all sorts of people that are like, a bunch of other people that have like scholarships and stuff that, you know, like the scholarship, like might cover their travel or some other stuff or.
Lindsay trying to wrangle the dogs. I love it.
Don't worry about it. It's okay. It's fine.
One of the bonuses of the amazing video version of our podcast is your girlfriend trying to wrangle dogs.
Yeah. Well, I got emergency Coors Lights because I'm pretty sure this beer is bad.
Did you text her like, yo, this beer sucks? Bring me a good one.
So I don't know, like that's the shitty part of it, right? Because like, you know, if you like say you're like a student from Brazil or something like that, you know, got a GDC scholarship for like, or no, I think the scholarship actually gets you the pass for free maybe, or I don't know. It's not like a full ride kind of thing. It's like you get either a significant stipend towards travel or a pass or all.
I get confused with the Apple WWDC one because that one I believe is full ride everything, but.
Like that you get, like it's if you get selected, like it's a big deal, but you still need to throw some cash out too to either get yourself there or, you know, buy food or put yourself in a hotel, something along those lines. I don't know the exact specifics for how GDC works. So I never dabbled in the scholarship stuff of it, but that's kind of like the other thing on Twitter too, is all these people that are like, okay, well, this is, even though I have the scholarship, like the rest is still a lot of money for me.
Yeah.
And like, you know, this seems like a really good opportunity to go to GDC, but on a year where most companies aren't going. And I don't know, like the scary part to me is not like, whatever, you know, there's a million different game events and I've maintained for a while that I kind of think that GDC's importance is potentially a little overinflated because there's so many people there and so much going on that it's kind of like you really get lost in the shuffle versus like, you know, going to like a, you know, like a 360 iDev kind of size conference where it's like, you know, you really get a chance to talk to the speakers because there's like only a few hundred people there and stuff like that versus GDC where it's like, oh, where did that guy go that did that really good talk? I don't know. There's a million people here. I'll never see him again kind of thing. So I don't know, but it just, I feel so bad for people that like just looking forward to GDC, like already paid for it or are otherwise committed to it. And it's like, this is the situation this year.
It does suck. It does suck. And GDC's maintained, like, we're not canceling, but every day it seems like there's some new development in the whole thing where it's like San Francisco declared a state of emergency the other day because of this stuff, because of the potential. And well, so I feel like there has to be a point, too, where GDC has to be like, look, literally nobody's coming to this. No company is committed to coming to this anymore. And
so the rumor that I've heard with regards to that is that like they can't cancel Moscone without there being like a national state of emergency or something like that declared, or maybe a state case, like a statewide state of emergency or something like that. And they just haven't hit that threshold yet. So they basically like have to proceed because Moscone is obnoxiously expensive, and if they like can't get their event insurance or whatever to kick in and have to refund everyone, like they're just going to go bankrupt kind of thing, because like the amount of space that they rent is like truly like all the conference space in downtown San Francisco, and like I can't even begin to guess how much that costs.
That's crazy.
But that's just a rumor. I don't know how true that is, but you know, it's kind of interesting, like following the I just made a column in TweetDeck or whatever for just GDC because it's pretty interesting, like watching the speculation surrounding it and everything else. Because I mean, they kind of have to say like, oh yeah, we're proceeding as planned, everything's gonna be fine, we, you know, we have extra measures in place to try to reduce any kind of infections, blah 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 blah. Like they have to say that, right? But I would just love to know, like, because they have to just be shit in their pants, right? I mean,
I would think
there's no way that they're not, with, because like now half of the over half of the show floor is not going to be there.
Yeah.
So like,
it's going to be a weird one.
Yeah. I don't even know what to think about that.
Do we ever book rooms? Are we going to go still?
We can, the hotels just keep getting cheaper. So
yeah, I feel like this is the biggest anomaly is being able to just probably wait till the week before something and book a room at the very last minute at the nicest hotel for the cheapest price we've ever seen.
Yeah. So honestly, like what freaks me out and like why I kind of don't want to go, I might have mentioned this before, I don't remember, but like I'm a young-ish healthy dude. Like if I got, you know, coronavirus or any of these other things, like I'd probably be fine. But it's just a matter of like, I don't want to get in a situation where it's like, oh, we're doing, you know, like health screenings at the airport before you're allowed to fly. And like, it looks like you have a light fever, so you're stuck in San Francisco. And then have it be like, oh, cool. I'm out of health insurance network in San Francisco. You know, I'm getting sicker. I need to go to the hospital. You know, and the crazy thing is like, you know, with the state of the healthcare industry in the United States, like the, it doesn't take much to have a complete snowball that just ruins your life with that. God, you know?
No. Yeah.
So that's I mean, it's crazy. Like for real, like all it would take is like, oh, cool. You have coronavirus. You need to be hospitalized or whatever. You're out of network. You just soaked up a $50,000 bill or something like that, you know? Or who knows, whatever else. I don't know. Like it's, to me, it's like anything could happen with how they handled that cruise ship situation.
Right.
Like, you know, if 6 months ago I would have told you like, oh, dude, Jared, there's going to be this cruise ship that like people are legitimately treated like prisoners and like not allowed to leave. And then like once they're off, they're still not allowed to leave. And then they're like shuffled on planes where you don't have access to a bathroom and stuff like that. And then thrown into quarantine. You'd be like, that's insane. That would never happen in this country. But like it did, like all that happened, you know?
I know.
So
I feel like it's only going to get worse from here.
Well, I know, because like, it's, to me, the United States as is now is like the perfect breeding ground for something like this, right? Because you have a system where like people don't go to the doctor even if they do have insurance because it's still expensive. People don't typically have like good like a good ability to take a significant amount of time off work if they're sick, so you just go to work sick. And you usually, like, even if you go to the doctor, you usually, like, wait it out a little bit to be like, I don't know, like, let's see if I just get better.
Yeah.
Which, like, creates a situation where, like, you know, just imagine, like, I don't know, I just keep thinking, like Pam or something like that, being like, oh, I don't feel too good, but, you know, whatever, I got work tonight.
Yeah.
Like, and if she had something like this, just spreading it to, like, everyone that she came in contact with, like, every drink she served that night or whatever else, like, and that to me just, like, seems like it's just gonna, it has the potential to just explode, you know?
Yeah, and especially I've heard a lot of reports of people actually getting tested for it and clearing, and then after the fact still being sick and getting retested and being like, oh, actually, you did have it.
Yeah.
So it's like there's a certain amount of it being undetectable by tests until a certain point or something like that, which just seems like a disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah. So we'll see. I don't know. I don't know how much of this is worth really being that worried about, you know, like I've seen, like to me, it's a bad take to be like, oh, well, we saw everyone got all worked up about like SARS and swine flu and everything else.
Yeah.
But I think the reason that those didn't turn into problems is because people did get worked up and they, like, you know,
people were careful,
really were careful about it and like did the right stuff. And then it didn't turn into a huge disaster.
Right.
Versus like, just, you know, oh, this is no big deal. This is, you know, some dumb conspiracy. I don't care about this, you know? So I don't know.
Yeah. It's reminds me a lot of the vaccine stuff where it's like, nobody's had polio in like 50 years. I don't understand what vaccines are for.
Yeah.
So but I really am committed to anybody that I'm actually going, and don't know for sure. I guess I'm just going to play by ear over the next couple of weeks and see what happens. And
yeah,
worst comes to worst, I think we'll be able to get a hotel if we both end up going or whatever. Yeah,
hotel for next to nothing. Yeah, it's crazy. I was like carpet bombing developers, and like very few people are going just because, you know, it's GDC and, you know, very few iPhone devs seem to go anyway because it's so expensive.
Yeah.
And then like about half of them were like waffling on just canceling.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It's going. I don't think there'd be a huge turnout for people to want to meet and show off iPhone games. So,
well, there's always a tempest.
I mean, there's a few usual suspects that I know are going to be there. I don't know. I don't know. We'll see.
Always the tempest. Well, should we talk about some iPhone games?
Speaking of, I guess we could do that.
Should we? Oh, you know, I actually have a perfect segue for this. Did you see that Plague Inc. got pulled from the Chinese App Store?
I did. It seems odd that they did that without really stating a very specific reason. I guess all they really said was it has illegal content was the reason that they said they pulled it. But I think we talked about this before, and this happens every time there's any sort of outbreak of any kind. Plague Inc. shoots up to the top of the charts in all the digital stores, which I always think is really funny. But I also, you know, they designed that game to be somewhat realistic, and they actually have showcased it at the Center for Disease Control before to simulate how diseases can spread and the reasons why and stuff like that. So it's like a rad strategy game, but it's also like grounded in facts and science and reality and stuff like that, to the point that it's actually not a terrible model to use to show things like how diseases can spread across the world and stuff like that. So it's really interesting to just to wonder, like, are people only downloading it because they can, you know, make a disease called COVID-19 and take over the world with it or whatever, and they get like an amusement out of that?
I mean, it doesn't really matter though. I mean, like, their statement on the website, I'm probably going to do a bad job paraphrasing this, is basically like, hey, you know, this game's like not propaganda or anything. Like, it is a game. Like, it's a game for sure, but it's also kind of like a, you know, way to learn how like diseases spread and mutate, and, you know, stuff like that. Like, it's, you know, we're not doing anything crazy with it or whatever.
Yeah. And it could just be curiosity that drives people to seek it out or whatever.
Yeah. I don't know, but probably some just government person saw it and was like, just get that out of here.
You know? Yeah. People are, it's creating panic or something stupid like that. Yeah. Kind of crazy, but there's also a lot of weird regulations around game approval. And it turns out that even though that game's been around for a really long time, they're just now starting to crack down on if you have like the official certifications to be released or not, and blah, 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 blah. And that game did not. But
are you sure about that? That seems insane to me that it would not have been above board.
That's what Daniel Mott on Twitter has been talking about. And so if it would be, weird that they wouldn't have said that.
That seems absolutely insane to me. Like, with how many times, like, they were saying that game's been downloaded like 160 million times or something like that. Like,
yeah,
I can understand having something on like the Chinese App Store or whatever that's not approved, that just like flew under the radar because no one's downloading it or whatever else. But like Plague Inc., that's like being like, oh, Minecraft didn't have its certification. Oh, that's so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that just seems hard to believe, but
I don't know. I don't follow China close enough to know or care why. I just think it's pretty funny.
Yeah, I don't know. Weird, strange times we're living in, but
yeah.
What's not strange is Stardew Valley getting awesome updates.
What a segue that was. Yeah, we've talked about this already the last few weeks, actually, because we've been waiting for this update to come out for the iOS version of Stardew Valley to get it basically up to speed with all the other versions of the game.
Yeah.
And it did finally launch this week. So the version 1.4 is now the most up-to-date version of Stardew Valley. Adds a ton of crap, like a new in-game mystery, new events, fish ponds, a new farm map, 60 new items, 14 new music tracks, and just tons of other improvements and stuff like that. And also includes, I think, some new customization options if you want to wear some different shirts and shoes and stuff like that, which is pretty cool. But another important factor here is that you could transfer your saves between the PC version and the iOS version using like iTunes file transferring or whatever it was a roundabout way, but you could at least keep your progress between the two platforms in sync or whatever. And you haven't been able to do that on the iOS version because the PC version has been updated for much longer. Mm. And so they were incompatible.
That makes sense.
So at least with this release, you can now do that again. And also this moves into our next story that we have. The creator of Stardew Valley, Concerned Ape, he announced that there's actually a version 1.5 update in the works now that 1.4 is officially out on all the platforms.
Yeah, I thought that this was like the big news story of the week, is like all the people speculating like what's going to be in this, because their announcement is basically we're working on 1.5.
Yeah, no details on what this update will be or whatever, but 1.4 was pretty massive and in the works for a pretty long time.
Yeah, and their previous updates too have been very significant. I mean, they do like minor point updates where they fix stuff every now and again, but like, you know, they've added like, you know, entire systems to the game, like new crops, new buildings, like you name it. Like, it's crazy how much they've added to this. Like, if you downloaded Stardew Valley on on Steam a million years ago, like version 1.0 or one of the betas or whatever, like you've gotten your $15 worth like a million times over.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of like Terraria or something like that too, which did a similar update sort of cadence, where they take a long time, but when they come out, they're super worth it and change a lot of things for the better. And honestly, it's like you could be making Stardew Valley 2 right now, and maybe you are behind the scenes secretly or whatever, but maybe you just want to keep adding stuff to this one too. So,
well, I mean, like, think how much like word of mouth and stuff like that there is surrounding like Stardew Valley and stuff like.
Yeah,
it's one of the games I recommend probably the most to people, like, because it's like appeals to both like total non-gamer types and people that are like super into like min-maxing all sorts of bullshit, because you can fart around on your farm and like, you know, just kind of, you know, not really know what you're doing and still have fun, or you can like really get into like rotating your crops and like optimal sprinkler building and like, you know, you name it, like it's pretty crazy how it's so flexible and that like both kind of work.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So
anyway, 1.4 is now out on all platforms, and 1.5 has been announced as being in the works. And then we actually have, moving on to our next story, this was written for like a month waiting for this update to come out. But Mikhail actually did a Stardew Valley, like, which version should you buy? Predominantly the iOS, between the iOS and the Nintendo Switch versions. But he does touch on the other platforms a little bit. But basically, like, the strengths and weaknesses of each and which one you should own. And spoiler, it kind of boils down to you should probably just buy both, because it's good on both platforms. But if you only had to pick one and you want to know which one, this might help you out. So be sure to check that out. Yeah, I don't know. I still have, we talked about how I was waiting for this update to come out before I wanted to start a new game on the iOS version, which I have yet to do, but maybe this weekend I'll have some time. But yeah, very curious to play heavily on the iOS version and see how it compares, because you get so used to the Switch version and the button, control system and stuff like that you get really fast and good at it and you get really used to it. They almost feel like I'd have to relearn everything playing on touchscreen.
Did they ever like backport the automatic tool switching stuff to the Switch and stuff?
Not that I know of.
I think like that's like the good part about the mobile version is like the, you don't need to kind of fiddle around to juggle your tools. Like if you're standing in front of a tree, you have your axe out. If you're like in the mine, you have your pick out.
Yeah, and it's like obviously you want to hit the tree with the axe and not the shovel or whatever. Yeah, but when you're clearing out a map, it was so annoying to have to switch back and forth. I would always be like, okay, I'm going to go hit all the trees and then I'll switch to a shovel and then I'll go hit all the rocks whatever. And so, yeah, that was a really nice thing that could benefit platforms even with physical buttons or whatever. So I don't know. I'll have to fire up the Switch version 2 just to kind of compare the two, but.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving along. This is pretty cool. So a developer called Punk Labs, they're a little more active several years ago. I think my favorite game from them was called Skeletomb, and it was sort of like the Crossy Road does a dungeon crawler kind of game, which was super, super good. And they also developed a couple other pretty wacky out there games called Kerflux and Raster Prime. But anyway, the last few years, haven't heard much from them. And they just announced that they're doing a new game, and it's called Repulsive. And it's actually almost entirely inspired by the old skateboarding game 720 Degrees, which you may remember from the arcades or the home consoles, I guess. But the arcade version had that weird tilted joystick thing, which I always thought was kind of cool.
Yeah, and, it was like, wasn't it? It was just like tilted 45 degrees, right? Or something? Like,
yeah, yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
And it was super good. It was this game always frustrated the hell out of me. I always liked it because I thought it was so cool the way the city was built. And it sort of just seemed like, when you play like Tony Hawk Pro Skater or something like that. And it's like, yeah, it's a city, but there's like plywood, like quarter pipes around all the buildings and stuff like that. And it just seems like, not a very likely scenario for having all this skatable stuff everywhere. 720 I always thought was like, seemed like a pretty normal city that you just see a bunch of skatable stuff in, like weird fountains with banks and things like that. I always really liked that aspect of it. But I hated how it had like a time limit where you'd have to go collect things and compete in the little tournaments and stuff, or the bees would come attack you and kill you. And that drove me nuts because I just wanted to cruise around and skate, right? So one of the design principles of Repulsive, being based on 720, is to have kind of a big skatable open world like that, but one where the like goals and the story related elements are there for you if you want them, and if you don't, you can just kind of cruise and do your thing and check out, find hidden spots, all that good stuff, which I think seems really cool. This is up for pre-order right now. And it's supposed to come out on March 11th. Let me look at it real quick. March 20th. Oh, well, we'll probably play this instead of Animal Crossing, right?
Well, yeah.
everything that has a March 20th release date from now on, I'm just like, do you guys know what you're doing? But I really will actually play this the day it comes out because I'm really stoked for it. And it'll be premium, no free-to-play stuff, which I feel like that's a nice thing, because this is the sort of game you could probably put a lot of free-to-play crap in because they're unlockable characters and stuff like that. So $5, one-time deal. March 20th comes out and you can pre-order it right now. But definitely just watch the trailer. It looks super awesome. Like if they had made 720 nowadays with really good graphics and stuff like that. So it seems really cool. Excited about it. In auto chess news...
The third big auto chess, right? Or is this the fourth one? I can't even.
I don't know anymore. I don't know anymore. But I know. I thought this was kind of funny. So Dota Underlords season 1 went live this week, and that means it's officially out of beta. even though this game launched on iOS back in June. So it's been out for 7-8 months, something like that, and playable and fine. But now I guess it's officially launched. So, yeah, season one has started if you're playing Dota Underlords or if you have not played it yet.
What's the Riot one called again? Do you remember?
Oh God, it is escaping me right now. We just talked about it last week, didn't we?
I don't think it's not on the App Store though, is it yet?
No, not out yet.
Yeah.
Why you gotta ask questions?
I can't keep track of all these auto chests.
I honestly can't keep track of them either, but Teamfight Tactics is what it's called. Pre-registrations are live for Teamfight Tactics. I don't think it's come out yet. But I think I want to say they just announced something about that coming fairly soon. Did they say spring maybe or something like that?
I can't keep tabs on all this stuff. I thought it was like a beta starting or...
Yeah. Yeah, this was back in October. But so anyway. Oh, yeah. I just posted something about this a couple weeks ago. Beta. You're right. The beta started in select countries. But I think they had a pretty aggressive rollout. So it's probably getting pretty close to actually launching. But anyway, back to Dota Underlords. It's official. It's out. Even though you've been playing it for more than 6 months. Season one has now kicked off. So kind of cool. I always thought it was kind of cool that they even beta'd this on mobile at the same time as desktop. Because that almost never happens.
Oh, you buy coins in the game. Interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, check it out if you haven't yet. Dota Underlords now available. More auto chess news. Hearthstone's Battlegrounds got a big announcement this week. Tassos, our writer, actually went to the event for it or whatever. Basically, they're adding dragons, which is cool. Dragons are cool. So there will be some new dragon heroes and new minions coming.
I've churned out of this game so hard. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's funny because I've seen a lot of people like him in particular say, I kind of grew away from Hearthstone and kind of never really felt like I had time for it or to keep up with it or anything like that. And then this came out and now I play it like all the time again because I can just like, you know, set some stuff up and then come back and check on it later or whatever, which I think that's pretty valid. But either I was never into anything Hearthstone related at all anyway. So
yeah, whatever. I'll actually load this up while we're chatting.
Deal with it. But yeah, they're also doing a bunch of giveaways and stuff specifically this weekend. They're doing a Twitch stream where if you watch and you have your Battle.net and Twitch things linked or whatever, you'll get a card pack for the new Descent of Dragons and some other stuff. So check out that story if you want to see the details for that and not miss out. I think it actually goes through. I think the Twitch stream is through tomorrow. So I'm drying out.
Huge update. So that is
Hearthstone Battlegrounds latest news. Pascal's Wager, we've talked about this a few times before. It's the Dark Souls-ish type game that came out for mobile and was also used to demo the graphics of the new iPhones back in September keynote. Ended up launching in January and has been pretty well received so far. Surprisingly enough, it's a paid game because I feel like games like this are always free to play and this one is not. And people seem to really like it, but because it's a Dark Souls-inspired type of game, it's hard. And I don't know. Not everyone likes hard games. Some people really like hard games and feel like nobody else should be able to play easier games. But Pascal's Wager this week got a big update, and it actually adds a casual mode into the game for people that thought it was too hard before. So they actually are trying to cater to a wider audience as opposed to just those hardcore, like really hard game type people.
I'm really curious how well this game is doing.
I have no idea, but along with this news, they actually detailed their roadmap for through June, and it includes some pretty big stuff, a huge update adding in a new area, like a new land to explore, and then they'll have a Android version coming in May. And then after the Android version is out, there's also a big update that's going to launch alongside that. And then in June, they have like a huge DLC planned, which kind of get the impression, they don't say it outright, but I kind of get the impression they're going to sell that as like a expansion pack. Everything up until then seems to be a free content update type stuff. This one in June sounds like it's, they're going to charge for it, which would make sense. So I don't know. So I feel like they're going to be planning stuff through June. Then maybe it's doing okay for them, at least for the short term. Games like this, though, it always comes down to like the long term. I mean, you can't keep making new content for it forever if people are giving you $7 once or whatever. So that's also what leads me to think that some of the content will be paid down the road.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, but anyway, people do seem to really like this game. It's not totally my cup of tea, but I think it's a really well-made game and kind of scratches an itch that no other game really can on mobile right now. So that's pretty cool.
Man, I haven't played so long that like none of my cards in Hearthstone are in the normal mode anymore.
Oh, no way. Oh, you're trying to...
Let's do it. Yeah, well, fuck it.
Yeah.
See you, Hearthstone.
So anyway, Pascal's Wager, if you thought it was too hard for any reason, you can play a casual mode now. And there's also all sorts of extra cool stuff coming in the next few months.
Were they getting like slammed with 1-star reviews? Did you notice that at all? I'm curious why they added this mode.
I don't know if it's feedback that they heard somewhere else. It didn't seem super noticeable to me that people were having like a hard time with the difficulty. But I did notice that there was a lot of people that were getting frustrated. There's no map and they were getting lost. And I can kind of get that. Like, it kind of sucks to just run in circles in the same place over and over. But they actually added a new item to the game, like, shortly after it came out to help people. If they wanted, you could have, like, these optional sort of, like, guide signpost type things or whatever. So you basically wouldn't get lost, retreading the same ground over and over. That was kind of the biggest complaint that I saw. This casual mode actually makes, like, battling enemies dramatically easier and stuff like that, and takes away some of the more severe punishments. So I don't know. There might have been people that have been complaining, or maybe they just wanted to add this just to have the option, something like that. I don't know. Interesting though. Yeah. So anyway, Kingdom 2 Crowns is a game that we've been following along with for a few years now. The original Kingdom New Lands is one of the cooler games you can get on basically every platform, because it's kind of like a city building strategy survival.
I do not have a single fucking clue how to play this game still.
That's sort of the charm of it, is that there's a lot of crap that's super only uncovered by playing and dying and experiencing and then learning for next time. I feel like that's the MO of this game, is like, we're going to throw a bunch of weird shit at you. We're not going to tell you too much of what to do. But you'll learn as you play, and you'll need to die and replay a lot of times before you really learn how everything works, especially very deep in the game, which I think that's really awesome. That's not everyone's cup of tea, and I kind of get that. But anyway, so the original Kingdom New Lands did really well. They had been working on a sequel. We first saw it back at PAX in the fall of 2017, we saw the Nintendo Switch version. It's called Kingdom 2 Crowns because it was designed, I guess the number one request they had for the first game was to have two people be able to run the kingdom at the same time, which is cool. And so that's what 2 Crowns is really heavily built around. It's a proper sequel in that there's new content and everything, but it's also built to be a game that two people can play at the same time. Which I think is really cool. One of the problems they had, they ended up releasing it in December of 2018 on desktop and Switch and consoles, I believe, pretty much all the platforms except mobile. One of their big problems was they weren't sure how to translate that simultaneous multiplayer to mobile very well. And so this month they actually released a couple videos. They have kind of figured out where they're going to go with this. So if you're playing Kingdom 2 Crowns with two people on an iPad, it does that cool thing where you can sit across from each other and each of you gets like half the screen.
Yeah,
and you
cool.
basically play same device multiplayer like that, which I think is really cool. And they have a video of that working in action. And then for the iPhone, which is much smaller and doesn't do same device quite as well as an iPad does, they actually have controller support built in to where you can play split screen with each of you having a controller. And you prop up your phone or whatever, which I feel like it'd be a little tiny, but if it works, and if you're the type of person that like loves playing local multiplayer with somebody, like say, you know, your brother or sister or something like that, you'll probably deal with it to be able to play this game. You know what I mean? And it's especially nice because, you know, it'd be a hard sell to be like, hey, go buy two MFI controllers to play Kingdom 2 Crowns on your iPhone or whatever. But nowadays it's like, oh, we have Xbox or PS4 controllers around the house probably anyway. So it's a lot more accessible to have kind of a controller requirement like that. So they're showing this stuff off. They're still not talking about a specific release date, but I feel like because they're showing these things off that it's not too far out anymore and that we'll see this game on mobile sooner rather than later, which is nice because it's been over a year since it launched on other platforms. So be anxious to have the mobile version because I really like the original one so much. So
I'm stoked for this. So
cool game and cool way to figure out how to do the multiplayer stuff. Speaking of multiplayer, the new Crossy Road game launched today on Apple Arcade. It is called Crossy Road Castle. Basically it's a multiplayer centric platforming game where it's for 1 to 4 players, and you each have to get through kind of like single screen platform challenge levels that are procedurally generated every time you play. The interesting thing about this game is that because it's kind of built around multiplayer, it will generate levels on the fly based on how many people are playing. So like for instance, like if you're playing with 4 players, you might have like 4 different switches that everyone needs to stand on to open a gate or something like that. But if you're playing 1 player, it wouldn't throw a level like that at you because you'd be screwed, right?
Yeah.
So it kind of knows how many people are playing and what kind of like weird things to throw at you based on how many people there are, which I think is kind of cool. And you can totally play it solo too. Like there's nothing stopping you. But I think it was designed to be kind of a couch co-op, kind of party game-ish type thing. Anyway, all the Crossy Road characters that you know and love and all their blocky glory, but it is a side-scrolling platforming game and really is the first Crossy Road game since, I guess, they did, what, the Disney one was maybe the last one or something like that? So, cool to see a new Crossy Road game. It is part of Apple Arcade, so if you're not into that whole thing, which not everyone is, you're not going to be able to play it. It is exclusive to Apple Arcade. So.
I guess what I'm surprised about all this is like, why wasn't this an Apple Arcade launch title? You know,
I don't know. And so part of what I found interesting about this, and I mentioned in the write-up announcing that this game was out, was that the release strategies for Apple Arcade games have been super strange, right? So like, when they first unveiled the service, they announced a huge bulk of the games. And so you knew at least in name, at least the title of a lot of the games that were announced for the service well ahead of time, well ahead for many of them before you've even seen a single screenshot or anything, right? So you have this big list of games that you've always known about. And then in September, when they announced like some new titles and showed off a few more and stuff like that, I still thought it was kind of like a not normal strategy to announce a huge bulk of games like that so far ahead before you have stuff to show or people can play it, right? So I thought that was kind of weird. And so Crossy Road was kind of like – and then since Apple Arcade launched, it's been more or less like weekly updates with new games. And even stranger is that those games have either been filling out that list that we've already known about for so long – or are games that you've like never heard of at all. So it's like a game completely out of nowhere, or it's something that you've known the name of for a long time and you're finally like, oh, that's what that game is like. It's out now. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's just been really strange and not like typical release strategy or whatever. Crossy Road Castle, for whatever reason, has been kind of the opposite of that. They actually announced this game in October. So after Apple Arcade had already launched, They announced this game, which almost doesn't happen at all with any other Apple Arcade games. You don't see like a trailer, an announcement being like, this is coming to Apple Arcade until it's like out already.
Yeah.
So, but not only that, the game never came out. And then 2 weeks ago, they actually put a new trailer out for it, which I thought was weird. So everyone was like, oh, new trailer just released. That's probably this week's game. But it wasn't this week's game. It was a different game. And then last week, there was no new Apple Arcade game. So it's just been like a really weird launch strategy with this game in particular, because it was announced so far ahead and then didn't actually come out until right now, which there's no real announcement about when it was coming out either, even though they released another new trailer. I just thought everything around it was really weird, which leads me to believe they probably wanted it to launch in October when they first released the trailer and couldn't for some reason. And then they might have even wanted to launch it 2 weeks ago when they released the other new trailer, but couldn't for some reason. I just feel like there's no other real reason to have such a weird strategy around it, right?
Yeah, it's, I don't know, super
it just strange, sticks out.
I think. Yeah, I don't know. Like the, you know, to me, it would have made more sense to, I don't know, like, you know, this Crossy Road is such a classic on iOS. It's like this, I don't know, you know, if it sounds weird to call this like a system seller or something like that, but it just like, seems to me that if you're going to launch a service like this, you'd be like, oh, hey, you love Crossy Road, right? Well, guess what? The new Crossy Road is only on Apple Arcade kind of thing.
That is exactly like a name everybody knows, like whether you game or not, you'd be like, oh, Crossy Road, I've played that because 50 billion other people have played that. So I agree with you, like not having it be like a launch title or very close to launch title is weird. So I don't know. Or maybe they were like, hey, 6 months out after we launched the service, you know, let's have something really notable launch to kind of reinvigorate it in case, you know, a lot of people did the trial and never subscribed or something like that. So I don't know. I don't know what the strategy is. But whatever the case, this week, randomly, Crossy Road Castle is part of Apple Arcade. It's promoted in every corner of the app store that you look in. So
yeah,
there it is. If you have Apple Arcade, you can check it out. If you don't have Apple Arcade, you can do a 1 month free trial and check it out.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
We'll see what happens.
So Final Fantasy III, which came out a bajillion years ago on iPhone and has not been updated in almost a bajillion years, got a nice update this week, adding in like full screen support and all that good stuff. And it's also 50% off for a limited time, which puts it right at the $7 mark.
I'm really surprised that this is still getting significant updates. You know,
Square Enix has surprised me with what games they've gone through and updated on mobile. And I actually think they have a strategy that they eventually want to update everything.
Mm-hmm.
But like all the Dragon Quest games, except for like one, I think, all have like full screen support and iOS 13 support and all that stuff. All the Lara Croft Go and Deus Ex Goes and those games have all had widescreen support for a long time and stuff like that. So it's nice that they're not ignoring their library of games that have likely sold the most that they're going to sell by this point, you would think. But I don't know, maybe not. But I have a particular soft spot for Final Fantasy III. This is the 3D remade version that came out originally on DS. And I actually played it on DS way back in the day. And then I played it again when it launched on iPhone in 2013 or whatever it was. And just liked this game a lot. And so I was actually excited to re-download it and play it with full screen support and play through it again, I guess.
Yeah, this makes me wonder if these games are making a significant amount of money or if there's just like one team at Square that like really likes them and just is like the like caretakers of this, you know?
I don't know. I feel like with the name recognition alone, it's got to push an okay amount of copies. But also, I mean, I don't know. It's so weird how many people are like, how many new iPhone owners there are each year, right?
That have never
had an iPhone before. And then all of a sudden it's like, holy crap, I can have like basically every Final Fantasy on my phone. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And then they're also priced quite a bit higher than your typical paid games are anyway. And so for every sale they get, it's equivalent to like, you know, 3 to 5 more moderately priced premium games or whatever. So
yeah,
maybe they make it up that way. But
with them all on there too, I could see you being like, and I've definitely done this before, been like, oh, I need like at least a few of these Final Fantasy games. I don't know which one I'm going to want to play. So
yeah,
particularly like when they're on sale or whatever for cheap, you know?
Yeah, right. So anyway, this is old enough that it's actually not a universal game. It is an iPhone and an iPad version. The iPad version was also updated for all the iPad Pro full screen business. But anyway, so that's something to know too, is that if you have both devices and you don't have both versions now, maybe now's the time to pick up the second one. It'd be nice if it was just universal like things are nowadays, but it is not. But since they're doing the half off sale, could be a good time to pick up the other version if you really need it. So yeah. Anyway, good to see Final Fantasy 3 updated. Hopefully 4, which is another 3D remake that they originally released on the DS, which I also like. Hopefully they give the same kind of update to that soon.
I just played a game of Hearthstone Battlegrounds. It's pretty cool.
Pretty cool?
I give it the pretty cool seal of approval.
The Eli Hodep pretty cool seal of approval.
The often, rarely awarded, highly coveted, pretty cool trophy.
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, it's not bad. Yeah, cool. So anyway, the last story I had to talk about this week is that Plants vs. Zombies 3 has soft launched in several countries. I think we knew about this game for a while now. It's actually a, man, if you love the original Plants vs. Zombies, just plug your ears and look away.
Mm-hmm. I know, right?
This is just like dragging that corpse through the mud.
It's like a weekend at Bernie's TV reboot.
It's sad from that perspective. From like a more objective perspective, it's kind of like, I don't know, it's not surprising that it's going this route or that they're taking it this way. And it will probably be the most successful entry in the series once it officially launches and all is said and done. That being said, it is kind of sad because I like some of the ideas in play here. So this is like Plants vs. Zombies, but they rejiggered it so you play it in portrait mode. Mm-hmm. And I like that. Like, I think that's a really cool change. But this is like the most free-to-played out version of this game that you've ever seen. It's basically ultra-typical free-to-play energy system, multiple currencies, all of the good stuff.
It's crazy how free-to-play. Because, I mean, you could make the argument, and, you know, you're kind of be stretching making this argument, where it's like Plants vs. Zombies 2 is like, hey, if you just like Plants vs. Zombies, you know, you can just play this and just kind of ignore all the free-to-play stuff. And, you know, just play through the game slowly. And
I mean, it was funny because Plants vs. Zombies 2, so the original was just a paid game, and it was one of the best-selling iPhone games and one of the best games you could get for iPhone for a long, long time. Like, it was mega popular. And arguably, the iPhone version is what really put that series on the map, because it was on desktop before that, like, cool, and I think it was reasonably popular, but it was more like, holy crap, you can play this game that's on PC and put it in your pocket on your iPhone or whatever. Like, that was a big deal at the time. And plus, that was also kind of at the peak of let's have 99 cent sales every other day and, you know, drive up the number of sales we get or whatever. But the original Plants vs. Zombies is just a classic in every way. So when Plants vs. Zombies 2 came out, do you remember the shit show that was it being announced as going to be free to play? And people were like freaked out about it. And I think it launched, and I think they did some significant changes to it over the like next year or two that made it really a very friendly, probably the most friendly free-to-play game, you know, around.
Yeah.
And it's like you said, you can just play it and enjoy it for what it is, and you don't have to worry about a lot of dumb free-to-play crap if you don't want to. This one seems like it's not going to be that way. It's going to be like, you have to play by the typical free-to-play rules, and if you don't like it, there's not really any way out of it. So anyway, I don't know. It is soft launch. If you have an iTunes account in the Philippines or Romania or Ireland, you can check it out for yourself. And I don't know. Maybe actually playing it, maybe it's not as bad as we're making it out to seem. But for me, it's just like, I don't know, I'd probably rather replay Plants vs. Zombies 1 again than like deal
The crazy thing is, haven't they free-to-played out Plants vs. Zombies 1, 2? And like, if you bought the game a million years ago, like that premium version is gone?
I think you can still re-download it. I don't think it's on the App Store anymore, but I think you can still re-download it. And I think it's still supported Even with full screen, if I remember correct, I think I still have it installed. But yeah, you're right. The premium original is dead and gone. Even the first game is like free to play, in some form now too. So, oh, you do. Oh, where'd it go? PVZOG. Is it full screen?
I think.
Oh, what? I guess I haven't launched this in a while. What age am I?
Updated it, but it's also free to play with ads and shit.
Yeah, but I think there was the two different versions of it. Oh, this is full screen. So if you had the paid one, you could still be paid.
I don't know.
I'm not 100% sure.
I remember there was tons of drama surrounding that. They like push out a free to play update, and everyone was like, "What the fuck? I paid like $10 for this game."
Yeah, kind of crazy. So anyway, Plants vs. Zombies 3. Oh, maybe I do have the now free to play version and not the old version.
I think it's the same version, man.
I could have swore they updated with two. They updated a separate version, but I could be wrong.
I don't know.
I don't know either, but rip to a great franchise.
Pour one out for a real one.
Maybe I'll try it out just to see so I can say for certain if it's good or bad or what. Yeah, there's nothing in my... Oh, yeah, there is. Wait, what is this? No, that's a different game. I'm trying to see if I had it. Oh, I do. February 2010. This is the paid Plants vs. Zombies. Updated 3 years ago. No in-app purchases. I'm going to see if it downloads. I mean, it's 64-bit. It still works. So
yeah,
I think the only thing it won't have is widescreen.
I'd be curious.
Interesting. Maybe I'll play them both together and see how awful they are. But yeah, that's kind of it I had to talk about for mobile game news this week. Whew. How are we looking on time?
We're doing good. I'm trying to
wrap things up.
Yeah, sure. We can. I don't know. What are we doing this week? Crash the coronavirus into my moist mucous membranes.
Yeah. I'm going to Cirque du Soleil tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Never been to it before. Have you?
No, that's not my cup of tea.
I don't know. It's probably going to be cool. You know what I mean? One of the things that where I like. I think Pam's parents or somebody bought us tickets, so it's probably one of those things I wouldn't have like gone out of my way to buy tickets for myself at any point in time, but I'll go to it and be like, damn, that was awesome.
Yeah, there's something we might do this weekend is so we live like an hour-ish from Dollywood.
Uh-huh.
And there's this thing called the Hatfield and McCoy Dinner Feud.
Ooh.
That's like medieval times but hillbillies, I guess.
No way. Yeah, you have to do that.
So you're talking about doing that. I don't know. We'll see what we feel like doing tomorrow.
I need a report back on how that is.
Yeah. It's all you can eat family style fried food that is served in buckets.
Welcome to the South, son. Yeah,
basically.
That's awesome.
Well, cool.
All right, well, let's drive it off the
freeway. Did you drop the? Did you mention the Patreon stuff at the start?
I did not. I always forget. So I'll mention it right now. If you like Tetracade, we are primarily supported through our listeners and readers and viewers. So if you want to see us continue to exist, please check out patreon.com/Tetracade. Consider throwing a little support our way and get a cool bonus like a video version of this podcast and a special Discord chat that is occasionally active. Also, you can help us out by doing your Amazon shopping through toucharcade.com/Amazon. And at no cost to you, we'll get a little slice of anything you'd be buying anyway. And keep it out of greedy Jeff Bezos' pocket. He's got enough to worry about with his divorces and his going to space and his what did he do? He just bought like 10 houses in California or something.
Yeah,
crazy.
something insane.
Anyway. Must be crazy to be him. But anyway, otherwise, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. And we will be back next week with another episode of the Touch Arcade Show.
See ya.